Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our final SHAC meeting, School Health Advisory Council meeting of the year. It is 5:04 p.m. on Wednesday, June 28th. As of right now, I do not have a quorum present. We anticipate having somebody here soon, but we're going to go ahead and get started just to be mindful of everybody's time. If those present would identify themselves for the recording, that'd be great. Kyle?
Kyle Pinkin, I'm a parent. Los Angeles of Rockwell High School.
Kim Pugsley, Child Nutrition Director.
Rebecca Stewart, parent.
Nicole Smithers, Director of Health Services.
I'm Patrick Just, the Executive Director of Student Services.
Kelvin Stroy, Chief Student Services Officer.
All right. So, as we have spoken about in previous meetings, if you will look at committee, your document that looks like, it says Senate Bill 9, SB 9, Active Consent Form. You have that document. Senate Bill 9, as you recall from several meetings ago, requires that beginning in the 22-23 school year, we have to provide education in the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. And so what we have tonight is a couple of programs that will help us provide that information to our students from organizations with our community that our community is comfortable with, that our community knows, that share the same values that we do as a district. And so Farrah Brabson from the Rockwell County Child Advocacy Center will talk first about Monique Burr. I was trying to remember her first name. So before Farrah does speak, there is a requirement that parents are notified when these things are occurring. So what we have decided to do this year is make this form part of our back-to-school forms. And so parents actually have the opportunity at the beginning of the school year to say, yes, I want my child or my daughter, my son to participate, or no, I don't. Because we house that information in Skyward, every time we have a presentation, we can run a report. And if we have students that are not permitted by their parent to participate, then we can pull them out. And then we ensure that only the parents who give permission, their students will participate. We will also give a two-week window, so if a parent wants to change their mind one way or the other, whatever that presentation being given, we'll make sure our counselors and our administrators are reaching out to parents just to say, hey, the Child Advocacy Center will be here to present on the Monique Burr Foundation programming. Do you want your child to participate or do you not want your child to participate? So they have an opportunity to change their mind. But this does help meet the requirements, some of the requirements of Senate Bill 9. So, Farrah, if you want to just refresh our memories about what that is, we'll go from there.
Sure, and I'll keep it pretty brief, but, you know, last time we talked a lot about what the Children's Advocacy Center is, and hopefully everyone is aware of that, but we do serve children that have been victims of child abuse. So that could be physical abuse, sexual abuse, or even witness to a violent crime. And we really are experts in that field, so I think that's really important when we're educating children on prevention of child sexual abuse, that we have those that really have that expertise that are there doing that work. And we did a lot of work with figuring out what kind of curriculum would we want the children in Rockwell ISD to get. And we want to make sure that it's evidence-based, which follows the statute, and that's really important. And there are a few options out there. But Monique Burr Foundation really stood out. They have a lot of research showing the efficacy of this program that really is effective. And also timing-wise for a school district, it's really important that you can fit these programs in. And they're just two sessions a year per grade level. And each lesson is going to be age-appropriate, which is also really critical when you're talking about the statute. So they design for every grade level, except for high school, is just one program, which they feel like developmentally is appropriate for all of those ages. And so I gave you guys some handout because it can be a lot of information, so you can understand that the Child Safety Matters program is for the elementary age kiddos, evidence-based prevention education, and it is able to teach students and adults how to prevent, recognize, and respond appropriately to four types of child abuse. That's physical, emotional, sexual neglect, bullying, cyberbullying, and digital dangers. And so it will, this also walks you through how it meets the statute and policy requirements, so that's really helpful to understand. And then the next page talks about the teen safety matters, which does the same thing. Just some of the presentations for the younger kiddos are probably about 45 minutes, and they make sure that there's a parent element, so something that the parent would get beforehand and to take home, because, you know, children are spending the majority of their time with their parents, so we want to make sure those parents are aware of how they can help their children keep themselves safe and understand those things as well. And I did also, beyond Monique Burr Foundation, which I'm really excited about, we actually just purchased the curriculum, so I'm excited to get in there and really start learning how I can utilize myself the best as a facilitator. And we also are already community education partners with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And that curriculum focuses on internet safety. And it is excellent. It's something that parents can go ahead and go online and have their children can take those modules, they call it gamification. But it's like playing a game, but they're actually learning how to keep themselves safe online. So I wanted to make sure you knew that we were also authorized facilitators for that program, which is something we can do. We also have presentations that we can do in front of like a PTA or kind of introduce parents to the curriculum.
What we love about Monique Burr is that it is very transparent.
Yeah.
That they are willing to share their presentations. So anybody that wants to see that, anybody that wants to be a part of that, it is an opportunity for parents. If they have any questions about that, they are able to view those documents. Yeah.
Any questions
about? So you guys are prepared to move forward. You said you purchased it.
We are going to be moving forward for Roy City ISD.
Great.
We're going to start just on a smaller scale. So we're going to do some classes for middle school and a class for high school. And we're hoping for a full-time position in August. It's looking very promising. But even without that, we have the staff capacity to be able to figure it out. Because what's the saying? Like, many hands make... we've always been about that. That's how we've been able to really make such an impact in the 5 years we've been open here in Rockwell County, because we're all willing to jump in and do what we can. And we've seen through the tragic cases that are happening in our community that there are so many of them that could have been prevented, or that child could have gotten healing services faster if somebody was in that classroom letting them know about outcry and disclosing and understanding that it's not okay what's happening to them, maybe at home or somewhere else.
Did you say you'll also have community partners, volunteers that would help with the presentation if necessary?
We have a very large volunteer program, over 100 volunteers. We are able to have up to about 6 authorized facilitators, but I believe that when you are facilitating any kind of training, you should have a second person. And so we would definitely want to make sure we have 2 people coming to the classroom, and so we could have a volunteer if we didn't have the staff. But I'm hoping we might not need that. But we definitely have some incredible volunteers with high-level education in counseling education, and we would do training with them as well, of course.
Great.
Is the presentation just once a year?
The 2 sessions, and they want them within kind of a close proximity, so you could... So with Roy City, what we're going to do is do the one session one week, and then in two weeks from then, we'll do the second one.
So Senate Bill 9 covers child abuse. Is that part of Monique Burr?
Yes.
And it covers family violence, is that?
It does cover healthy relationships.
Okay. So dating violence would be another one?
Violence, yes.
What about sex trafficking? Is that part of Monique
yes.
Burr? Okay. So... Committee Senate Bill 9, those are the requirements for Senate Bill 9. So you can see that Monique Burr really covers all of the requirements for Senate Bill 9. And again, it's a trusted community member, a trusted organization in our community. And I know I can't take an official vote because I don't have a quorum, but is there anybody present tonight that would be opposed to us moving forward with this type of a relationship with the Child Advocacy Center for our students? Are there any questions at all, Tara? Okay.
And just a side note that I think I mentioned it last time, but I think it's another reason why I chose Monique Burr Foundation. they've partnered with Stewards of Children, Darkness to Light, or Darkness to Light Stewards of Children. If you haven't heard of them, they focus on adult prevention of abuse, so educating adults, which we're already authorized facilitators with Darkness to Light. And so doing both programs, it's Protect 360, so it's just nice to know they also have that other layer.
Great.
Now, is there, I know it's not for kids, but are they doing any type of training for the staff on these items?
So there's not a requirement, but I'm going to bet they can.
Yeah, we currently are providing some education on recognizing and reporting child abuse through the for administrative staff, teachers.
So I'm Patricia Mejia with the Children's Advocacy Center, and every year, basically since our inception, as we prepare to go back to school with in-service, my clinical director comes and works with the school counselors, with principals and assistant principals and teachers as needed. So we do provide there as well. And then whenever possible, we bring our partners along, like law enforcement, CPS, and so that they get how the whole model works together.
Perfect. Yeah, because in my former life, I was over safety security for Garland. And one thing we always saw was the, and they didn't do it intentionally, but the principals and the teachers typically always screwed up investigations because they would go off.
That never happens, does it, Ms. Mejia?
So
that would never happen.
I was curious if we're giving that training to our staff to help prevent some of that.
Well, it's part of Safe Schools training as well.
Yeah.
All of these are.
And you never get enough of it. You really need that annual training because we forget the little nuances that are so critical to doing the right response.
There's also some legislation about school board training and superintendents. We're authorized to do that as well.
Yep. Great. Thank you so much, Farah. Monica Eisner from the Rockwell County Women in Need is not able to be here tonight, but she did provide some material. So if you want to kind of see the other community partnership we're looking at, again, going back to Senate Bill 9, particularly item number 10, violence for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you've got digital drama, you've got peer drama, and teen dating violence. Having the community, the women in need folks come in and do presentations for our students as well. Kind of that same reasoning. We have a community, we have a relationship with this organization already. They are a trusted member of our community. They are parents in our schools. We share many of the same values. And so having a recognized partner within our schools providing training to our students just makes things an easier transition. So you can see kind of their catalog, so to speak, of choices for grades 6 through 8. So we really want to focus on middle school students. And in 2 years, we will have sixth graders at our middle school, as scary as that is, maybe for some. But, you know, reasonable goal setting, that's all pretty safe. That's pretty innocuous. Reasonable decisions, managing emotions, those are all things that are so important, particularly for middle school kids. But when you look at anger management, conflict resolution, teen dating drama, as kids get older, as they get into 7th and 8th grade, dating violence, not dating drama, that's a whole nother thing. Dating violence, it's so important that we are able to provide a service to our students so that they have the skills that are necessary to help them cope with these types of things. Same type of thing, parents would sign off before the school year starts. They'd get a 2-week window to say, this organization is coming into our schools. Do you want to change your decision, change your mind? And I'm sorry that she's not here to present, but are there any questions that I could try and answer about the Women in Need presentation? They have been in our schools for years. They come in and they present to our kids, and they have been doing that for years. We just wanted to formalize that again. This committee approved that probably 9 or 10 years ago. But we want to reformalize it through the SHAC this year and see if there's any questions about any of these topics. Will anybody be opposed? I know we can't vote again, but anybody on the committee opposed to working with women in need? Great. Thank you very much. All right. And then kind of along those same lines, TA requires a coordinated school health, coordinated school health program. And we have a Rockwell ISD coordinated school health program, the TEA, the Texas Education Agency. And we have moved on, I'm sorry, to the next agenda item, number 4. PA requires that you have a coordinated school health program. We have had one for years at our elementary level. We are wanting to expand what we have into the middle school level. Dr. Mary Pugh, who is the presenter for this, also is not available tonight. Seems like summer is a bad time maybe to have a meeting. Maybe we ought to reconsider. Whoever the chair is needs to reconsider when to do this next time. But we wanted to let you know that one of the resources that the Texas Education Agency recommends is the CATCH, the Coordinated Approach to Child Health. So CATCH is a recommended resource. We are going to use CATCH as a resource only. We believe that in Rockwall ISD, we've got some of the best coordinators for curriculum that are around. And rather than taking a canned program that is coming from the Texas Education Agency or wherever they may be, we're going to use CATCH as a resource. But we're going to build our own curriculum so that we know exactly what it is our kids are getting. And Rockwall ISD is controlling that. Rockwall ISD is making sure that our kids are getting the things that they need to get. So this is an information item only. It's not something we vote on. But just as a information item, you can see that in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade on that chart, these are the this is a curriculum where we will include these topics that are already covered in our elementary schools K-5. You have any questions? Okay, thank you. So here's kind of, and Aaron McGrew, I don't want to make this a negative thing because it's a very positive thing anytime we have a partnership with our community. You all know the dangers of fentanyl. You've all heard about the fentanyl cases that are going on in our surrounding area. I don't know, to my knowledge, have we had any fentanyl cases here?
We haven't had any fentanyl-related overdose death among student populations. We've had several overdose issues.
Okay.
Relatively low frequency, thank goodness.
Yep. Well, we want to get out ahead of it.
Yes.
And so Aaron had reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, can we partner with you guys? Can we do some kind of a parent programming? What does that look like? And I thought, well, this is a great opportunity for this committee to hear to some of the things that we're going to do, and then as a district, again, some of the things that we will do to combat it as well. So Aaron, if you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what you have in mind.
So to be fair, about 4 months ago, Patrick reached out to me asking about fentanyl presentations that we may already have, and I was like, well, let me look, and then after a period of not communicating, I was like, you know what, I need to reach back out to him. And so one of the things I'm going to point to, and I was very diligent to print out great information and then left it all on the printer, so this is all being regurgitated. Patrick was kind enough to print out the flyer from Plano's Fentanyl Forum last year. So one of the things I think that would be is a good unique opportunity for us to partner together to do basically a drug forum, a drug abuse forum. There will be obviously a focus on fentanyl. One of the things I like is we have a great roadmap for an existing program through Plano PD. Through an unfortunate circumstance, they lost a student to a fentanyl overdose in February of 2023. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks later, they hosted a fentanyl forum. And it was very well put together, very well presented. Essentially, it was emceed by one of the members of Community Services Division at Plano PD. And they had representatives. It was a multidisciplinary approach, much like we talk about when we partner with different community partners like the CAC. They had a representative from medical staff, an ER doctor, I believe. They had a law enforcement rep, which for their forum was the assistant special agent in charge of the DEA Dallas field office, a very good source on that. They had a county level substance abuse program administrator. I don't know if we have a county level equivalent to that position, but we could certainly find someone who would be appropriate to fill that. The director of counseling services for Plano ISD was there. And then finally, I think probably the most touching and poignant panelist was a family survivor of a fentanyl overdose death. It was a mother of a young woman who had lost her life to a fentanyl overdose. It was very well put together. Like I said, 5-member panel discussion. They were each given about 10 or 15 minutes to kind of talk about their perspective on the problem and any insight they may have based on their discipline. And then throughout the presentation, what was really neat about this one is that they started it with explaining to the attendees, hey, if you have questions, there's these cards, fill out your questions on the cards, and it was all to prep a Q&A at the end
so that if there's some questions from the audience that could be addressed within the time frame, that those were then at the end addressed to the panelists, and they spent some time answering some questions from the audience. Really good opportunity. You know, the differences between Plano and what I would envision Rockwall's being is Plano's, unfortunately, was reactive, you know, due to a death, and it was very heavy fentanyl focused. One of the things I know about our, public information management is that it kind of mirrors our philosophies on how we structure and messaging and that kind of stuff mirrors Rockwall ISD. One of the things I did today is I met with my entire command staff to talk about this very meeting tonight, and just to make sure that I was properly representing what their wishes were, what our chief, assistant chief, everybody's wishes were with something like this presentation. And one of the recommendations I was given was not necessarily to make it exclusively a fentanyl forum. Fentanyl will be a heavy component of that discussion, but it does give us an opportunity to talk about drug use across the board, because there's certainly other things that our kids deal with. Other side, fentanyl obviously presents a particular challenge because it's so deadly. Because the doses for fentanyl are so deadly. So let me see what I haven't covered. The Q&A. So the cards were collected. There was a screening process. Some officers on the side. Because you certainly don't want to dive off on a rabbit trail. And, you know, you want to answer the questions that best apply to everybody in the audience. And then I think at the end they invited anybody who still had questions that weren't answered to meet with representatives who were still there. That way, the whole thing took about an hour and 13 minutes. It's recorded on YouTube if you want to go watch it. It was very well done. They included a couple of snippets from, there's some very good media related to the dangers of fentanyl. They included a couple of minutes of video from several of those events through there. Also, about 2 weeks prior, 2 to 3 weeks prior, they did a media blitz where I think they jointly released press releases saying that they were going to have this event, inviting the public to it, kind of talking about appropriate age ranges, that parents and kids could. It's focused on parents, but it certainly has information that I think students could benefit from as well. And there was a couple of news interviews promoting it. It was very well put together. So it's nice to have a game plan that worked really well that I think we could duplicate without just a whole lot of effort.
Well, and I love the idea about broadening it.
Yes.
You know, we are not unlike any other district in the state of Texas or anywhere in the country. Vaping is an epidemic. And I deal with daily kids who are charged with a felony because they had a vape and they had no idea it was THC. They had no idea it was a felony level THC. The TEA thinks that they're going to curb that behavior by making any vape whatsoever, whether it's a tobacco vape or whether it is a marijuana vape, they're going to make that a mandatory discipline alternative education program placement. So you can have a cigarette and it's okay, but if you have a vape, then it's a mandatory DAP placement. That type of a placement is not going to curb behavior. Types of forums like this, where we're educating our kids, where we're making presentations to our kids and their families, what parents can look for, what to identify for behavior changes. I mean, as far as what the vapes look like, those types of things are so important. And so when Aaron asked me about this, or we reconnected a month or so ago, it's just really the perfect opportunity. Shortly after school starts, let's kind of hit the ground running, and then we'll have something at one of our campuses. We'll reach out to community partnerships and then see what we can do to make a huge impact in our community and really educate our parents and our kids.
So did it take place at the school district?
Took place at the Plano Performing Arts Center. It was co-sponsored between the police department and the school district.
In the evening?
Yes, on the evening. I can't remember what day of the week theirs was. I could probably look it up. Thursday evening. It was scheduled for 6:30 to 8:30. Again, the actual presentation was about an hour and 13 minutes long. I'm sure they used the rest of the time to meet with anybody who had questions after the fact. So
just wanted you all to know that we are going to move forward with that type of a partnership. And then hopefully it's just the first of many to come. There are lots of opportunities for our kids and our families to learn about what goes on the streets and how that impacts school. And so, Aaron, thanks for coming. We appreciate that information. And then item number 6 really ties directly into that. This is just a quick update from Nicole about fentanyl almost in particular, and some new guidance from the state. So she's going to remind us and talk to us about what we are going to do as a result of that.
So we talked at the last meeting about prevention of an opioid overdose, and then also response to that, which would be having an opioid antagonist like Narcan or the generic name Naloxone. Since then, the legislation, there was multiple bills that would have different levels of requirements for schools, but Senate Bill 629 passed and was signed by the governor, so it's in effect immediately, and that requires schools to have an opioid antagonist for any campus that is serving grades 6 through 12. So for our district, that's everywhere the way we are now. So anyway, we are waiting for the agency to write rules. That's part of the legislation on kind of the maintenance and training and all of those things. But we are, what we thought was maybe an action item for us is a different, not an action item for SHAC anymore, but wanted to make sure that you are aware and that we're working on that to move forward with having that layer of safety at school.
So who will carry that kind of in your plan? What are your thoughts about who would?
I mean, definitely, we have a registered nurse at every campus, so definitely that, and then we'll definitely be moving forward with discussions in the district on additional staff training, whether all of our campuses have a medical emergency response team that practices and trains for anything from anaphylaxis to a some cardiac event where we need the AED and CPR and that kind of stuff. So, but those are all be kind of waiting, to see what the rules are, because they have a law that's, some specifics, but also can be a little global, and then the agency has to write rules. And so before I get too carried away with a bunch of stuff, hopefully the rules will come out to us and we'll have a little better guidance.
Yes, sir. Has
the school looked at any kind of grant writing? Your funding with all the big pharmas has been paying out money for communities?
So there's a number of programs, and I think that there may even be some additional things from the state of Texas with this particular piece of legislation passing, but there's a program out of San Antonio School of Nursing. Forgot the school. I think it's in the UT. Anyway, they have a program called More Narcan Please, and I have two boxes of Narcan, like cases of Narcan. I ordered it a while ago because it can take several months, and I'm glad I did, because now that this is a shall, I'm not sure what the numbers the state's going to recommend, but we're sitting well for the first day of school as far as implementation.
And what's the shelf life?
About 3 years for the nasal powder. We're not going to stock the injection or the auto. There is a Evzio or a Vizio. There's a talking, if anyone's seen an AviQ, which is the talking epinephrine injector, there's a talking Narcan injector. I don't think anybody's given those out, but they're pretty cool. Oh, I should have brought it, but we won't have those. It'll just be nasal spray, so simple.
Yep, so as Nicole said, that was going to be an action item, but it is not. It's an information item. We are moving forward with that, and that ties directly into what Aaron was talking about. We're fortunate enough to be in a community that's not a big deal, but all it takes is one kid in our schools and for us not to be prepared, so... we're going to do whatever we can. We have a lot of things to address that happen in our community between trafficking and abuse and dating violence and drugs. And there are a lot of things that schools are the perfect fit to help educate our kids. At the same time, we're educating them to pass the STAR test. So we'll try and fit everything in the 177 days that we have. But providing parent information is really key to that as well.
Patrick, I'll just say too, sometimes kids that are turning to drugs just have not yet disclosed abuse. And so just that connection.
Yes, ma'am.
Substance abuse.
Yeah, there's always an antecedent for that behavior. Oftentimes something has happened. So this is our last meeting of the year. Are there any things that you guys have questions about? Anything that you want to know about for next year? Don't ask me that because I don't know.
So we don't have any action items that needed a quorum,
man. Well, we had three. We had two that needed the quorum, which is why I asked you all if you had any opposition. So even though we're one short of a quorum, at least I know that the people here are in favor. I don't know what that looks like according to Robert and his rules, but we'll see what that looks like. Our next step is to go to the Board of Trustees, and we'll give an information item to the board, let them know the things that we have discussed, let them know the community partnerships that we are hoping to engage in, and then ultimately they have to approve that or not.
So we will. You can still take it to the board.
Yes, ma'am.
No, we're not. Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll take it to the board. I don't want to try to have another shack meeting. So we'll.
I mean, if we have to do like a quick Zoom to meet requirements, we can all go on there and.
Okay.
They're here. I'm willing to say here's what I'm.
I appreciate that. We'll,
that way we can make sure it's all
legit. I'm sure that's a question I'll have to ask somebody who knows more about all of this than I do. So. With that being the case, if there are no other questions, it is 5:35, and I will adjourn the meeting.